Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 237. I'm creator and host, Don Hutchison. Every day, I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Sidelined by a serious injury in his 20s, Dwayne Cummings' promising professional soccer career suddenly looked bleak, but sage advice by a mentor and coach dramatically transformed the setback into an unexpected career decision. I'm delighted to bring you our featured guest, Dwayne Cummings. Welcome, Dwayne.
Thanks so much for having me, Don.
It is our pleasure. Are you using your talents doing work that you love?
I am fortunately doing so, yes.
Excellent. We want to hear the whole story. Dwayne Cummings lives life with a single purpose, to aid others, act on ideas, and achieve sensational results. He is a trusted advisor to organizations and individuals around the world regarding professional and personal development. He's an author, entrepreneur, coach, and consultant who speaks regularly on a range of topics that include entrepreneurship, leadership, communication, sales, and finding your purpose. Dwayne, that's a summary of your career to date. Tell us what you're engaged in now that has you excited and motivated.
Well, thank you very much again for having me, Don. And, you know, I get to live every day kind of by my own crafting. And
yes.
Yeah, so I'm an author, and the series of books I'm working on right now, there's still 5 more books to come out. So I get to write every day, and I also write blogs. I do a lot of speaking, public speaking. So I serve audiences that way and all around the world, very blessed, all kinds of audiences. And I'm a teacher, facilitator. I still, you know, get to work and coach with groups, people, individuals, governments, et cetera. So yeah, I'm still doing that every day.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, as you know, everyone's life journey is composed of a series of turning points. Some people call them passages. And at these times, we're faced with obstacles and opportunities and choices that ultimately determine the next handful of years of our lives. So take us back in your storyline, in your backstory, to the more memorable turning points and influences that have made Dwayne Cummings, Dwayne Cummings.
Well, we have the military in common, and thank you for your service, Don. I was an athlete growing up. I played 5 sports, but I really zoned in on soccer. And that's where I got to go on and play collegiately. And I played in the military and became a professional player. But I had some injuries early on. And I had a career-ending injury. And I had a coach that was a mentor of mine that just pulled me aside. And he said, listen, you're a far better coach than you'll ever have been a player. So this is a blessing for you. You can add to the world by being a coach. You make other people better. You're a good communicator, et cetera. So due to an injury, which a lot of people would have not been able to overcome, that, you know, oh man, my career's over, I actually got to fold that over and turn it into a big win. And then I went on to be a coach and coach youth, high school, college, and professionally.
Well, let me ask you something a little further back in the storyline. How did you said you played 5 sports?
I did.
Unbelievable. Well, did you come from a family of athletes?
No. And it's really interesting. I had one of those childhoods that, you know, when you look back on it, you don't realize at the time you're poor and you don't have many things. And so every day you were supposed to get out and play, right? Don't come back in the house. When the streetlights come on, that's when you come home. And so in our neighborhood, you know, we were playing whatever was in season. You played baseball and Little League if that was in season, basketball when it got cold in the wintertime, football in the fall. You know, you ran track if you were interested in that. So, you know, I was just always out and about and playing. And it was really my escape from probably some other things. And then as I got older, figured out that, no, it was really that I liked to be around other people and accomplish things in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Hence how I became a coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you said you got so good at soccer that you actually played it in college?
Yes. And I actually didn't finish playing in college because I got in trouble and lost my scholarship early on, which was another defining moment. That was what took me to the military. So I got in trouble and I got 4 options: Army, Air Force, Navy, or Marines.
So, well, at least you got those options, huh?
Yeah, right. And I don't know why they didn't offer me Coast Guard. I should have thought about that.
Which branch did you pick?
I took the Army. It was a couple of reasons. It had the least or length of time enlistment. I chose a combat MOS, which gave me a signing bonus. And I felt like it was going to be high speed, you know, high charge type of atmosphere, which it was. I got to go to the 101st Airborne and
wow.
Got to go to scuba school. And I got to do a lot of things that kept me busy. So.
Wow. My father's brother was in the 101st Airborne.
Well, I thank him for his service.
Yeah, it was back in World War II. It was a long time ago. Okay, so you had a good tour of duty. And how long were you in the military?
just 3 years and 2 months. They actually wanted me to re-enlist, but it would have been an unaccompanied tour back in Korea, and I was engaged, and I wanted to come home and get on with my life. The military got me on track in a few areas, but I knew that I wasn't the kind of person that was going to wear the same uniform every day and do the same thing every day. I was an entrepreneurial spirit. And
yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. Okay, so what happened after the military? How did you pursue your career or your education?
Well, I went back actually to play ball, and so I ended up playing, and that's when I got injured as playing indoor professionally, and AstroTurf ended my career. And then I became a coach and a general manager. I moved in from coaching to general management and coaching. And during that time, I'd also coached high school and youth, but it was kind of a backwards transition because I left there and went on to teach and coach at university, got my degree and went on to teach and coach at the university level.
Okay.
Most people go the other way around. I had a challenge, an opportunity to start a program at a small Catholic institution. Mm-hmm. And I knew the administration and the athletic director and took that opportunity to build something.
How was that whole experience? What did you find out about yourself during that time as with the Catholic school?
Well, it's interesting because my grandfather and all my uncles were Baptist pastors. So when they found out, I was kind of like, questioned, and because I wasn't Catholic, didn't know anything about it. But one of my greatest lifetime mentors was a priest at that university. There's an abbey or a monastic community on the campus, and he kind of took me under his wing. And I would say that that was where a lot of my growing up happened. Even though I was older, there was a lot of reflection, and he made me do some exercises that really changed who I was and put me on a certain path. You know, he had me do a reflective exercise about why I believed everything I believed. And it took about 6 weeks from, money to religion to everything. So, that 6.5 years was a very eye-opening, aware type of time.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it was terrific. So what happened next?
Well, that's where one of the shifts came. Probably one of the biggest shifts in my life was my oldest son, who's 26 now, was about to turn 10. His birthday's in June. I had not made one of his birthdays because in coaching, you're gone doing camps or you're at other universities, et cetera. And I was getting ready to leave again. And he said, "Dad, when are you going to love me and my brother as much as you love your players?" Yeah, that was it right there, a crucial moment. So you have to decide, wow. So I pictured that I was going to be a coach for the rest of my life in athletics. And my wife and I talked and we said, I can always go back and coach, but I've got to get in that world now where I can be around my family and watch my kids grow up. And interestingly enough, my mentor was one of the first people to say, "You're right. He's right. You got to get away from coaching and get in an atmosphere that's conducive to your family." Mm-hmm. So I stepped down the following season and started down that path of, I'd always been an entrepreneur, had small little businesses going on the side, but really focused first in the corporate world and then in my own businesses.
So where did you head out in the corporate world?
Because of my skill set, and I knew a man that owned a construction supply company, building materials in the U.S. He said, when I told him what had happened, he said, "Oh, great, you're going to come to work for me and you're going to manage my sales team." So I got into that and then I did fairly well. And I got recruited away to go to a bigger company. And then because of my relationships with like Home Depot, Lowe's, I got recruited away to go to a bigger company. And so in a very short period of time, a couple of years, I had kind of climbed this ladder. And all along that way, I was growing my clothing company, the Duke and Duchess company, my private label, which started out as an accident, but allowed us to step away from the corporate world and begin to focus on our own company. And we were very blessed that that did well. And then we got out of that industry, sold right before the 2008 crash.
Okay, so, hold on a second. The kind of details listeners want to hear more about. Sure. So the Duke and Duchess company is a clothing company. What was the genesis of that? Is this you and your wife, or you and a partner, or what?
I was having clothes made because, when you're meeting with the vice president of Home Depot or something like that, you want to look your best. And the guy that was making them said, "Hey, why don't you have more than one thing made at a time? It's more cost effective." And I said, "What am I going to do with the same, ties or hankies or, socks or whatever?" And he said, "Well, make a dozen or more at a time, put your own label on them, and you could give them away as gifts."
Mm.
Yeah. So what was interesting is I had a bunch, and then we had friends that my wife played bunco with, and her husband asked for a few of those to give away in a gift bag and a swag bag. And that kind of was the catalyst and launched this thing. And then all of a sudden we turned around and, we had hundreds of mom and pop accounts. We were shipping all over the world. We were getting containers in from China. It was, from a scalability standpoint, there was incredible growth, which brought us some notoriety and some accolades for entrepreneurs and marketing things. We gave away a lottery ticket in every box that we shipped in the U.S. So we also gave people the opportunity to be millionaires, and we did some fun things, but I was very blessed. And when that happens and you have that kind of success, and then when we split it and sold one aspect of it and then kept another aspect and sold that a year later, people want to hear your story, right? Mm-hmm. How did you grow and how did you handle the capitalization of it or the growth, scalability, et cetera? which is how my consulting company developed and my speaking. Because although as an athlete and a coach, I'd spoke a lot to certain groups, once I had that corporate sales background and then my own entrepreneurship success, everybody wants to hear the story.
Yeah, of course they do. So how old were you when this was going on? What stage of your career?
Yeah, that's so between the 30, I think your breakdown is like the 34 to 44 range.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just curious.
Yeah, mid-career, I guess, is where I would have been, because I was a little ahead of the curve because my injury put me into coaching. You know, I was the youngest professional GM and head coach in like sports franchise history, you know, because I was in my 20s still. And then I became a head coach and athletic director early on, which you don't normally do. And so I was kind of beating the curve on a lot of the age things. And that had to do with having a lot of smart, wise people around me that were constantly, you know, nudging me, keeping me on my track and course correction. And, you know, being raised around a bunch of Baptist pastors, you either have to be able to verbally fence and defend your position quickly, you know, or you sit and listen. So I did a lot of sitting and listening and learned from people that were a lot smarter than I was.
I hear you. So what's the next part of the story? What happened next?
Well, the consulting took off really well, and I was blessed to be asked to work with different companies of all different levels. And then in 2011, I really got busy again. And our youngest son, who's now 19, he and I were having those conversations like my older son and I were having, like, hey, when are you going to be around more? You're traveling all the time. Want to spend some time together. So that was the time where I couldn't lean on Father Victor, who was one of my main emotional mentors, because he had passed. So I called another one of my mentors and he said, you didn't learn the lesson the first time is what it sounds like happened, Dwayne. You know, you've gotten busy again instead of on purpose. And he said, you already know your gifts and talents. You know how to monetize them. Now you need to make the rules work for you. So I took a sabbatical, and, you know, my wife and I just spent a lot of time. We were fortunate. We travel all over the place. We went to some really cool places, and we just decided right then and there that we would never do anything again. And I say we, because we're in this together. We've been married 28 years. We would never do anything again that wasn't on purpose and wasn't by our rules, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Even if that meant we lost everything tomorrow and we started all over again, and it's okay because we had each other and we were on purpose. So I began only taking on clients that had a bigger mission. It wasn't about money anymore. They wanted to serve the world. By my assistance, it was kind of like using a megaphone instead of a straw. We were going to broadcast to a bigger audience. And, you know, 3.5 years ago, I got asked to consult with a oil and gas company that had started on a $5,000 loan and grown to $50 million in revenue in like 2 years. But the two guys that started it had two things that they hung their whole life on. One was have a humble and servant attitude and do the right thing for the right reasons. So I knew I had scalability experience. So I partnered up with them. They made me a partner, equity partner. I was the active COO, and their goal was to sell. And that was a project that took us a couple years. We finally sold to a publicly traded company. But every day that I was in that, although I was working with another group and I wasn't doing my thing particularly, I was on purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way ever since. If I'm going to write a book or co-author a book or work with a nonprofit or take on an individual coaching client, it has to be on purpose and congruent. So I never even think about it. I don't think twice.
Yes, exactly. Well, congratulations on such an illuminating, I mean, such a fascinating story, but congratulations on the success you've had at so many levels, at every critical level of your life.
Yes, thank you. You know, every day I get up, and a lot of times people will write their gratitude list of all the things that have already happened that they're grateful for. And I actually do it in reverse. I'm grateful for the things that are going to happen, good, bad, or indifferent, because if they're bad, I'm going to learn a lesson. You know, if they're good, great. I just pinch myself because it's almost hard to believe sometimes that life can be that good. You know, at first you kind of question, is this really supposed to happen? And some people self-sabotage and they get derailed. And I've kind of just accepted it now. My wife has accepted it. Our family accepts it. And we're just blessed beyond measure and fortunate.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, what do you make of the fact that you've read the research and read the background information we sent, that these studies have been going on for a couple of decades about worker satisfaction in this country and around the world? When people are asked, are you doing what you do best every day, the majority of people in the 70s or high 80 percentiles say no. And again, we know that everyone's life circumstance is different. There, sometimes you just have to work through it, and life can force you into positions that you've just got to muscle through. But what do you think is going on with people and them not able to get in their sweet spot and follow their own vision?
I think that there's a lot of confusion in their own mind and heart, and there's not a lot of people that help bring clarity to their lives, which I'm grateful for your show and what you do, because that helps people. You know, we always need evidence. So if you see someone that does something, then you go, okay, it's possible. I saw them do it. You know, why are you providing evidence? It's awesome.
Thank you.
Because early on, I think what happens is some people get mislabeled with their gifts. Maybe as a child, they're gregarious, they're talking, they're chatty, they're dreamers looking out the window of school, and somebody says, you can't be that, don't do that. And so their talents and gifts get kind of covered over, and they get put in the closet. And so it takes a long time sometimes for people to re-find those or rediscover themselves and what they're really good at.
Yes.
Their talents are always there. Their gifts are always there. They get off track, though, and then they get into a corner that they don't see a viable way out of. You know, so they take a job because it's about the money and they have a family and a mortgage, and then they can't leave that job to find something else because then, you know, they don't have evidence or an experience of how to get from point A to point B.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's well said. What would you say to them? How would you coach them, whether they're 18 or 80?
Yeah, I actually do a lot of work with people that are, you know, they have one foot in one life and they have one foot in the life they want. And you have to be very careful because you can't just turn to them and say, hey, you just need to jump. Although there are people that say that, because their belief system and their support system might not catch them when they fall.
Yes.
So you have to be calculated in finding their critical path, which usually takes incremental steps. You know, people say, oh, Dwayne, you had this great success recently. I'm like, this success took, you know, 50 years.
Right.
And so you have to give them actionable items that are incremental steps that constantly move them course correction wise in the direction they need to go. Kind of like a plane. It's mm-hmm. never on course. It's always constantly correcting.
Mm-hmm.
So you find out, first of all, what their gifts and talents are. So identify those. You can use lots of tools. You have one of the greatest tools on the planet for that. And then, you know, develop that plan that says, okay, this is where I am. That's where I want to be. And it's interesting because I just wrote an article on this after I watched the movie Martian. Have you seen that?
I have read great reviews. Is that as good as it's touted to be?
Oh, it was. It just depends, right? It depends on what you love. But for me, it was fantastic because it was evidence of something that I knew in my heart and something I'd practiced in my life, but it was so succinct.
Wow.
So the first thing is that he makes a decision. He's not going to die on Mars, right? So
right.
It's that old commitment thing. Cortez used to show up on the shore and he'd burn his ships. Then there's no going back. And then the second thing was he became resourceful. He stopped focusing on the resources and he started becoming resourceful, which a lot of people don't do. They don't look around and see what assets they have and what they really have at their disposal. And then he focused solely myopically on one thing at a time, the first challenge that was right in front of him. And once he overcame that, it was the next challenge and then the next challenge. And, you know, before you knew it, he's back on the planet Earth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's really that succinct, right? So you make a commitment, you decide because there's power in decision. And then, you know, you become resourceful because it's not always about money. You know, sometimes you create a new technology because you don't have what you need.
Yes, yes. That's a nice summary, and it's applicable to everything we're talking about here. I look forward to seeing that. I think he's a great actor, too.
Yes.
So what aspects of your life have been most affected you chiseling a life out on your own terms and doing the things you've been talking about? Emotionally, spiritually, physically, intellectually, financially, what have been the takeaways?
That's really funny you say it that way because I kind of talk about, I use a lot of F words, and I don't mean the one that you shouldn't use in public. You know, I discuss fun. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in my life. And family, my family's involved. My wife made every trip with me last year where I went anywhere in the world except for one. Finance, when you get in your sweet spot and you have some business acumen or some people around you, you can usually monetize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a way to monetize your sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
So from a financial fund, family, fulfillment, I'm truly fulfilled. I'm overflowing with gratitude. And you used the word words sweet spot earlier. It's effortless.
Right.
You know, it's easy when you get in that mode. So yeah, by doing what I was naturally built to do originally, I'm not fighting. I'm not swimming upstream.
Yes. Yes. Well said. Well said. So listeners around the world are driving to or from work, or they're taking a walk by the river or whatever they're doing, listening to this. How would you summarize? You've given us many, many lessons, but what are the top handful of lessons, two or three lessons you would give to listeners about how to get from here to there?
Well, one of the things I advise people to do, and I do it in my own life, is start filtering in what most people are filtering out. It's interesting. You talked about they're driving somewhere. A lot of those people make the same drive every day and they turn on the signal, they switch lanes, they brake, they gas, you know, they do all those things, but they don't even realize it. You get home and you might've even forgotten to stop at the store to get the milk you were supposed to get because you're on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
So begin to recognize things earlier, be aware, opportunity. We go to look for a new car. We're going to buy a new car. And before that, we never saw that car anywhere. Once we get that car, you know, the red Chrysler or whatever, it's everywhere. Opportunity is everywhere. We're just not seeing it. We're filtering it out. a way to be in our gift or to be able to give our gifts or our talents or share those things are everywhere. We just hold back. And probably, you know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head now that you asked that question.
Sure.
The biggest impact, you know, people say you're as good as the five people you surround yourself with, or, you know, you need to get a mentor or a coach. Get somebody in your life that has a different viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people always say to me, I want to surround myself with like-minded people. And I actually correct them for me. And I say, I actually don't want that all the time. I want like-hearted, like-spirited, like-integrity. But I want somebody that thinks totally different than I do. So they'll take me to a place that I've never been. And so if somebody's not getting what they want in their life, you get around someone different that is getting what they want in their life.
Exactly. I think these are very good insights. Have there been particular books or resources that have meant a lot to you in your journey?
Well, I'm a voracious reader. I'm real nocturnal. I don't sleep a lot. And I read a book, you know, every couple of days. But there's, depending on where you are in your life. So, you know, if you're financially struggling, then you're going to look for a book that helps you financially and gets you on track, whether it's Wealthy Barber by David Chilton, which is a parable great about saving and those kind of things. You know, there's the old standbys, Think and Grow Rich. And I read As a Man Thinketh probably 20 times.
Wow.
But then there's some other books you may have heard, like The Go-Giver by Bob Berg.
Yes.
You know, if you're trying to figure out the equation and the syntax of what you should be doing first, you don't have to wait till you have $1 million to give. You start giving and then things happen.
Yes.
There's a book that is not known very well. It's kind of a secret in my opinion, but it's called The One Philosophy by Nancy Matthews. And it's the fact that you can be the one and you never know who you're going to be the one for in every moment of every day. You know, so you sit down at a counter beside somebody, you give them a kind word, or you smile, and you might have been the one for them that day and you don't even know it. But those are books that are lessons that I lean on every day.
Yes, yes. I like all those books. That One Philosophy is, that really resonates.
It's powerful. I mean, it doesn't matter the culture. It doesn't matter the language.
No, it doesn't matter at all. So how do you use this amazing thing called the internet? I know. It's a funny question.
No, I think it's a fantastic question because it's not going anywhere, right?
No, except getting better all the time, I think.
Right. So, you know, I'm kind of an anomaly in the world because I only work by referral and I don't have the normal opt-ins and the funnel that I'm trying to fill and all those key things. I get to work from a place of, you know, freedom, and I'm not tied to something. But I'd be a fool to say that I don't need to understand and utilize it and how things work, whether you're, you know, trying to use one platform. If you want to put out something today and you want it to go on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all those things, then it makes sense to use technology.
Right.
So, you know, there's lots of, whether it's Hootsuite or, you know, Buffer or all those things that you could do that with. But, you know, there's something to be said for that Google search box.
Oh, man.
You know, when I was a kid, you got told, go to the encyclopedia.
I know.
Right? Or you went to the library and you got to check out X amount of books and you had to have them back in a week. And
right.
So at this moment, you can put anything in that box and usually get 1 million+ responses back in less than a second.
Yes.
So if we don't utilize that, sometimes for entertainment, that's fine. But if we don't utilize that to better ourselves, to serve the world, to understand our talents, it's like somebody just sitting on a ham sandwich and they're starving. It's a waste, you know?
I'm the same. The other day I found myself Googling the spelling of a word and I've got two or three different dictionaries and thesauruses and everything right here next to my desk. But it was quicker to Google the spelling of that word than to open a dictionary that was right in front of me because it happened in just a matter of 4 seconds.
Yeah. Now there are, you know, for younger people, I actually like the tactile lesson of teaching them because you need to teach them how to learn the science of critical thinking and solving a problem. So you don't always want the easy path.
Right.
But the overall use of the internet for me now, candidly, is it's a magnifier. So if you put something good out, it will be magnified to the world. If you put something bad out, it will be magnified to the world.
Yes.
So I use it to plant seeds because that's all I'm doing now in my life is I'm just planting seeds in others and places and in groups. And it allows me to plant more seeds.
Yeah, I understand. It's so many aspects of it. So what's your vision going forward in the next handful of years? What do you see happening in your life?
It's probably Pollyanna to most people to say this, but I don't see any change in my purpose. You know, if a year from now I'm side by side with somebody digging a ditch in a third world country, I'm happy, smiling, and I'm on purpose because I'm serving others, I'm aiding others. You know, if I'm partners in another company, again, doing something like that, then I know it's going to be fine because I'm on purpose for the right reasons, doing it for the right reasons.
Yes.
But I've got a bunch of books in the works. So writing is going to be a big portion of that. I'm blessed and fortunate to be booking speaking engagements in 2017, right? now. So I don't see much changing. Now, will there be challenges? Sure. You know, who knows what happened a couple of years ago. You know, we were on track and on purpose, and my wife had a LASIK surgery that went bad, and she was blind for 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, did that change our world? You bet it changed our world, but it didn't change who we were and what track we were on. You know, it was just something you overcome and you adapt to. And, you know, so to make it simple, in the next couple of years, I'll be serving the world where they need to be served.
Yes. So what are you proudest of?
Oh, my relationships, family, my friends. You know, you don't always make perfect choices and you're not always the perfect person. And I don't know that I'm prideful, but I'm content with the fact that I'm constantly learning and fixing things that I messed up in the past, and that I have a great support system around me that loves me and I nourish and love them.
You can't express it any better than that. Dwayne Cummings, what a great pleasure being with you today. And we very much appreciate you sharing the highlights of your life journey. And I know that our listeners around the world have learned lessons that will help them in theirs. So how do those folks get in touch with you if they want to, if you want them to?
Sure, if you want them to, right? I'm here to serve, and the easiest way is DuaneCummings.com, DuaneCummings. And, you know, you can go on there and find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, and that's the easiest way to get a hold of me. And
okay.
I'm very transparent.
Okay, excellent. Listeners know you can go to DiscoverYourTalentPodcast.com and put in Dwayne's name, and there you'll be on the show notes page where you'll find the highlights of this fine interview along with other information that he's mentioned, books and so forth. I want to thank listeners across the world for joining us, as I do every day on our show. If you go to our website, we have an infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed? 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. These are lessons that the great men and women thinkers from around the world have been using for actually centuries, and we just boil those down and put them into bite-sized chunks that might prove to be stimulating. We've had great feedback on this from listeners. It's all free, of course. You can also subscribe for free on iTunes and Stitchers to our show. If you like interviews like this and you like our content, please let us know. We would like to know how to serve you better. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them. We can't ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.